Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
And the sky was made of amethyst, and all the stars were just like little fish. You should learn when to go. You should learn how to say.
What's up, world? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. I'm so glad that you have joined us yet again, and we are back into music this week. You know, we talk a lot of movies, sometimes we talk TV and pop culture, but it's always fun when we get back into the world of music. And I seem to always kind of drag my friend Gidget Von LaRue along with me when music comes up. Gidget is back, guys, from the Retro Cinema. She's over in Australia. Gidget, how are you, my love?
G'day, my darling. What a fantastic... I love this subject. I love it. You know me, I'm a total movie girl, and then TV, music, entertainment, just overall entertainment, and I do love me a rock chick.
Well, I was going to say, why don't you tell everyone what the top five is today? What's the topic?
It's our top five rock chicks.
Rock chicks. Maybe I'll name it that. Women, I love that. Women rockers, rock and roll women. So, Gidget, when you were coming up with your list for this, how was it? I mean, was this like an easy list for you to compile?
I think it was easy in the way that I had a lot to choose from. Mm-hmm. It was hard in the way of whittling it down to five, just five. And then even putting it in what order as well. And I got feedback as mm-hmm. well. And people are going, oh, it has to be this person. But I thought, no, don't be influenced. You just go. And the other criteria was they didn't necessarily, every song wasn't necessarily a rock song, but sure. they had to do at least one or two what I consider rock songs in their career.
Sure. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because, you know, I was talking to my wife a little bit about it earlier this evening, and I was kind of struggling with, you know, is this a rock chick or is this just a musician that happens to be female? And a lot of what played into it for me too was kind of their persona, you know, like, did they kind of live like the rock and roll lifestyle too, you know what I mean? As opposed to what the music sounded like, you know, because I don't know, I feel like rock and roll is just a whole kind of aura that exists that's so much further than just the sound that comes out of the speakers, you know what I mean? So I may have gotten a little deep with it, but we'll see. Before we do that, Gidget, you know what? So in the month of February, which is when this is airing, and a lot of other episodes this month were very women-centric episodes. We did a lot of kind of honoring towards chicks this month. And you were supposed to come on for one that we did a couple weeks ago for Badass Movie Women,
yeah.
and you were not able to. I was bummed that we couldn't make that happen. So I wanted you real quick to give everyone your five, since you weren't able to come on the episode. Who are your top five Badass Movie Women? Read them off for us.
All right. Well, I was bummed too. Don't worry, because I was like, my list is awesome.
And it is. I've heard it.
Okay, so my list of badass women, I had at number five, Lindsay from The Abyss.
Mm-hmm.
I had Princess Leia from Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I had Jordan, played by Demi Moore from G.I. Jane. A lot of people will be like, huh? But if you watch that Ridley Scott movie, she takes a pounding
in
that.
Yeah.
And she gives it back too. The Bride, of course, from Kill Bill and Kill Bill 2. And number one, I named my cat after this character, Ripley from Alien and Aliens especially.
Well, that was my number one as well, Ripley. It was irrefutable. No way I could not do it. I also crossed over with you on The Bride from Kill Bill. So yeah, that's a great list. My number two is Laurie Strode from the Halloween films. And I don't think you're big in the horror genre, are you?
No, are you kidding? I love horror. I love genre of movies, and I love all decades of movies. I'm a massive movie fan, and I'm actually a bigger horror fanatic than Angry Man.
I love it.
The guy that my partner in the podcast world. So
I love it.
yeah, I love a good horror. I love being scared. She's a fantastic character.
Yeah.
I actually had, I think I had as an honorable mention, another horror character, female, was Heather Langenkamp's character from
Nancy.
Nancy from A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Absolutely. I considered that as well. I just wanted to put one horror on my list. And for me, Laurie Strode and Ripley kind of like they dominated. So I had both of them. So I didn't want to go crazy and list all horror because I easily could have.
And I think the other thing about Ripley as well is you've got to remember in the Alien movie, the original one, she wasn't a trained Marine. She wasn't trained to fight. Mm-hmm. She was basically the second in command from Dallas on a mining vessel.
Right. Well, hey, we had a little mini discussion just now. I'm so sorry we weren't able to make that happen, but I'm thrilled that you're here tonight because we're discussing our favorite women rockers, rock and roll women. So Gidget, I tell you what, my list, I'm telling you right now, and I was telling you before we started recorded, I've got 12 in front of me, and a few of those are going to be honorable mentions, obviously, but I don't know who my fifth woman is going to be yet in my top five. So I'm going to let you go first. I'm going to let you get us started off. Who is your number five women rocker?
You live on the edge, buddy.
I know, right?
You live on the edge. That's rebellious of you. You're being rock.
I'm in the moment.
Rock,
I'm in the moment. Like, what's the deal, you know?
Yeah. Okay, number five. Now, for many of the overseas listeners that are not Australian, and probably for a lot of the younger people, they may not have heard of this band or this girl, but I was a big fan of this band. I've picked Susie DiMarchi, and she was the lead front in a band called The Baby Animals.
Wow.
They're a Sydney band. They formed in 1989. They were 6 weeks at number one on the Australian music charts, beating Nirvana.
Wow.
Nirvana was second from this band. They appeared on heaps of American talk shows at the time. David Letterman, they toured with Van Halen and Led Zeppelin.
Interesting.
As the support band. And unfortunately, their first album was massive. Second album, that they were a short-lived, but they're still all performing now, and she still sounds fantastic. They had songs like Rush You, Early Warning. I reckon if people haven't heard of this band and this girl, check them out because you'll love the songs. But I'll send some through to you, Gerald, so you can play it.
Yeah, please do. I'll need to get, maybe one of the most popular from you. So Baby Animals was the group. Is that what you said?
Yeah, Baby Animals and Susie DiMarchi, but it's spelled DeMarch.
You know what? That's one that I don't know that I even know. That I love when you do that. I think you did that once before when we had New Wave 80s or something like that. So I'm looking forward to looking that up. Baby Animals does sound vaguely familiar, but I don't know that I can place any of it in my head right now. But that's your number five. So my number five is, maybe a divisive pick. You know, we were talking about how we get fan feedback every week, and you and I were discussing that a little bit before we started recording.
Yep.
And this is one that there was a lot of shout outs for it, and then there were a few people kind of going against it. And these lists for me are just my personal, and we've talked about that before, but just my personal picks, and I can remember my mom and dad having these records, and this band was one of the first bands that I heard as a young kid, and I just remember the vinyl playing in my house. And whenever that happens, and there's two bands or two women, I should say, that are going to show up on this list, that the nostalgia comes back for me when my parents introduce me to them. And that's always very special to me because a lot of the music that I'm into, I found myself. Do you know what I mean? But this particular woman and this band, my mother and father introduced me to at a very, very young age. I was probably 7 or 8 years old listening to these records, but it's Miss Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac is my number five.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the nostalgia is really the reason, but just a giant catalog of hits. I mean, just mainstream hit after hit after hit, and they still live on today. I mean, this is a band that was formed, I want to say, in the 70s. It may have been as early as the 60s even, with Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, and just the story there and the history between those two. And create such an iconic canon of music is phenomenal, and her voice is very raspy, which I love. She almost sounds like a dude.
I like the fact it's distinct as well.
Right, right.
You know, when you hear her singing, you're like, oh, that's Stevie Nicks. Exactly. Although I know that South Park had a bit of a joke with her, with the goat and the bear.
Sure, yeah. No, yeah, that's what I mean. You know, I wasn't trying to be, you know, hurtful in any way, but I mean, it's like she almost sounds like a dude. You know, just a very mature, raspy kind of deep falsetto that she has, and like you said, very distinctive. She stands out in a crowd, no doubt, and so does her persona. You know, she kind of lived that kind of hippie lifestyle, and she was kind of a poster child for that, especially in the 70s. But yeah,
totally boho, wasn't she?
Absolutely,
yeah. Bohemian, yeah.
Absolutely. So,
but I like how you said as well, and I know I agree with you. I do like, especially for that sort of music, the deeper woman's voice. That Susie DeMarchi is the same.
Mm-hmm.
She's more of a lower range singer, and it just works so well for those rock songs. And I mean, both, you know, Fleetwood Mac had a lot of ballads as well, and sometimes the ballads are more popular than their more rock songs. But I'm the same, you know, we're around the same age and grew up with Fleetwood Mac, definitely.
Absolutely.
Playing and everywhere.
The nostalgia is always going to, you know, jump out to me too, and it's cool to be able to just kind of remember those times with my folks. And
time casts a spell on you, but you won't forget me.
You know, I think about it now when I'm playing songs for my kids now. You know, I'm thinking about if they're talking about it 20 or 30 years from now, how special that is. So Fleetwood Mac is definitely one of those. So Stevie Nicks is my number five. And
excellent.
That sends us over to you for your number four. What do you got, Gidget?
All right. I have a feeling you might have this lady on your list, but I certainly do, especially her early stuff. Obviously, the later stuff, people favored the ballads a lot more, the more sort of poppy ballads, but she was certainly early on in her career more rock. But she was named the top heavy metal vocalist of all time by Hit Parade in 2006. And I've got to go with Ann Wilson for number four from Heart.
Barakura. Yeah. I'll be talking about it later. Go ahead.
Yeah. The albums Hope and Glory in 2007, Immortal in 2018. The bigger hits were, you know, Alone and What About Love and All I Wanna Do Is Make Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you go back and you listen to her cover of Barracuda in 1977, boy, she could sing, as they say, she could sing the phone book.
Right.
Really. I mean, what a voice. What a voice. And Crazy on You and Barracuda, you go back and go onto YouTube and listen to those people. It's absolutely fantastic. Of course, her sister Nancy played the guitar as well in the band.
Yeah.
Don't you hate those super talented families?
I know. But you're right. So good. I mean, Heart is, one of my all-time. So you know I'm going to be talking about it when I'm talking about women rockers. So I'll try to save some commentary for when it comes up on my list. But I obviously agree with the pick wholeheartedly. Ann Wilson from Heart is your number four. Do you want to give, I want to put you on the spot. Do you want to give like your favorite Heart song? What's your favorite song by Heart if you had to pick one?
I think What About Love? It's a little faster paced than Alone or All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You. All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You is a bit schmaltzy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the more recent stuff, but I just, when I think Ann Wilson, I just love listening to her live performance of Barracuda.
Yeah, Barracuda is hard to go wrong with that one. Absolutely.
Yeah. She gives it that growl. It's like, whoa, you go, girl.
Okay. Well, here's where... Oh, man. Here's where I got to throw in one that I don't really know what I want to do yet, Gidgets.
Living on the edge.
I could edit around this, but I'm just going to live in the moment here. And I'm going to say that, I try to make a personal list. And I think you'll see when I do my honorable mentions later, there's a few that probably could have crept in here based on personal preference. But I feel like I would be lynched if I didn't put Joan Jett on my list. So that's going to be my number four.
Yeah, I think you'd be lynched too.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You might have to go underground if you didn't have that one on your
list. I mean, I do love her. You know, I do love her, so don't take that the wrong way. But she's my number four. I mean, you know, just kind of the origin from the Runaways too, because, you know, I loved, and I've talked about the Runaways before. I believe we did, you weren't on that episode, but we did 70s rock songs not too long ago, and I mentioned a tune by the Runaways. Just in a time that was just, rock music was just dominated by dudes. I mean, just so many males. It was a very, you know, it was all men running that space. And here come the Runaways that are not only women, but they're young. They're girls. They're not established. You know, they don't really, quote unquote, know what they're doing. They're just kind of going at it and banging their instruments and screaming into the microphone. And Joan Jett really was, you know, a founder of that group, but just a founder of kind of infiltrating the heavier rock for women, you know, and she's definitely a pioneer in that respect. And then, of course, she went on and had a great solo career and with the Blackhearts too. You know, I love rock and roll. I mean, come on. I mean, that's it. I mean, that song alone, she goes on this list. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And as you said, she's a real rock chick.
Yeah.
Rock chick. She had those beautiful smoky eyes. She lived the rock life. She performed the rock life. She's much higher up on my list. But she is the ultimate, rock chick.
Yeah. So another little crossover then.
Yeah.
I love that. I love when we cross over because me and you, we're two peas on a pod. You see that? You see
You see what we did there? We are. I know. It's adorable.
Real quick before we move on to your three, though, I just want to give Joan Jett a little bit of love, too, from a songwriting standpoint. You know, and I think that she kind of gets the rock persona kind of overtook the songwriting a little bit in her, you know, kind of like what she's known for. But she's a great songwriter, like tunes like Crimson and Clover. Just so melodic and just a beautiful lyrically, too. And like I said, she's one of the all-time classics when you think rock and roll women that kind of float around in your mind. And that's the first one my wife named when I told you we were talking about it. We were talking about it earlier. She was like, well, you got to have Joan Jett
on
there.
You got to have Joan Jett.
And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I do love Joan Jett. She's a classic rock chick. So that's my number four.
Excellent.
All right, Gidget, what do you got at number three over there?
All right, number three. I am so happy to be coming back to Australia for this one. Aussie. I am picking Chrissy Amphlett from The Divinyls.
Nice.
She's not with us anymore, sadly, but this was a Sydney-based band. They released 5 studio albums. 4 of them reached the top 10. We had songs like Pleasure and Pain, Sleeping Beauty, and of course, one of my favourites, I Touch Myself.
Yeah.
Science Fiction, Boys in Town, and their album Science Fiction, or the song Science Fiction, was named one of the top 30 Australian songs of all time. Chrissy Amphlett has possibly one of the most distinct voices when you listen to her sing.
I agree.
I love The Divinyls. I loved all their songs. She was very sexy. All these women are very sexy. What am I saying?
Well, that's true.
Sexy.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah. I was actually going to say that, though. I don't. Do you have the year on that album with I Touch Myself? It was in the...
Around 85, I think.
Okay, because I was going to say late 80s, and I was young. You know, I was born in 75, so it was a very taboo thing. I mean, I touched...
It was naughty. It was a naughty one. But that song came out, people are going, what is she singing about?
Right.
You know, when I think about you, I touch myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, just a great song. That would probably be a great, and I know in Australia they were probably bigger, but in the U.S. that would definitely be considered a one-hit wonder for us here in the States. They didn't have anything really beyond that tune.
Right.
But you know, just such a transformative song, too. I mean, just really kind of could be one of those moments in the late 80s to early 90s that you kind of start seeing things be a little more risque on the radio. Like, that one comes to mind, and around the same time, like, I Want Your Sex by George Michael comes to mind. Like,
yeah.
These types of songs that, you know, you weren't playing on mainstream radio because they were too taboo.
And I mean, there's always been suggestive naughty songs, but they've been put in a way that you wouldn't. I mean, even, you know, Turning Japanese is
right.
About masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, sure.
But back then, we had no idea. We just sort of thought, oh, that's a good song.
Hey,
that's
cool.
About it.
Yeah, we're going to Japan.
Cool, yeah, Turning Japanese. Cool, man. But, look, I'll send you through. I mean, as you said, you're pretty much in America. I think I Touch Myself was the big hit for them.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, the other songs from them, Pleasure and Pain is a fantastic song. Sleeping Beauty's a fantastic song. Boys in Town. I'll send you through all of these and you can, you know,
and
take
that,
your pick.
And I can touch myself.
Yeah, you can touch yourself to Chrissy Amphlett singing
and that
songs.
Was, they were a duo, right? It was just two of them, right? Or was it a whole band?
She started off with it was just the two of them, and then they formed the band, the Divinyls.
Right. Okay,
so there was about 5 of them, I think, in the band, the Divinyls. And then she went solo for a bit. I sort of read the history, but I was just going, yeah, I love her voice. She's on.
Yeah,
that's it.
I do too. Yeah. I do too. Great, great pick. All right, so Divinyls. I mean, I love, and that's, and I didn't know they were from Australia either until you just told me. So that's cool. A little hometown love there. I like that.
Absolutely.
All right, so. My top three are all super, super personal picks that might not make, you know, the consensus for these types of lists. Maybe top 50 or something like that, but I don't think they'd be narrowed down to people's top 5. But
right.
I've seen all 3 of them live, so that has something to do with it, I think. And the songwriting ability for my number 3, I mean, this she is just a, what I would describe as like a tortured poet. She's very truthful and personal in her lyrics. And when she delivers her lyrics on her albums or whether it's a live performance, and like I said, I did see her live, you feel like she's giving you, you feel like you're in a therapy session with her. Like she's like telling you what she's going through or what she's been through or what she is afraid of. You know what I mean? Just a very emotional singer, and you can feel
can I have a guess?
Her emotion. Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
All right. Just from what you're saying, are you picking Alanis Morissette?
No, but I do love Alanis, and she would be in the same kind of field of vision. But it's a young lady named Fiona Apple is my number 3.
Oh, okay, yep.
I just kind of set it up, so I kind of said everything I wanted to say. But you know, Criminal is one of my favorite songs ever of all time from any genre. Her song Criminal, I love it. Sleep to Dream, Tidal remains one of my favorite albums from cover to cover. I actually had a vinyl version of that album. I have the CDs to this day.
I've been a bad, bad girl. I've been careless with a delicate man. And it's a sad, sad world when a girl will break a boy just because she can. Don't you tell me to deny it. I done wrong and I wanna suffer for my.
Her, man, she's so like just personal in her story. It's like she's telling you a story. That's the best way I can put it. So you know, a lot of singers will get lyrics, or they'll have someone write the song for them, or even if they write it, and they'll just kind of like try to find the right melody and kind of like sing it and hit the notes and everything. Fiona Apple is a good singer. I'm not saying she's not a good singer, but she's just telling you a story, man. She's just telling you, this is what I went through, this is the fucked up stuff that happened to me, and she's kind of pouring her soul out there on stage or on the album. And I always feel really connected to her when I hear her sing, if that makes sense.
And
that's not always the case with even people that I admire, even, and that I'm a fan of. That's not always the case. So I always feel a very personal connection to her lyrics and the way that she's delivering her music. So Fiona Apple is a pick of mine at 3. Do you like Fiona Apple? Are you familiar with her?
I'm very familiar with her, yes. I say very familiar. I've heard some of her songs. I do need to check out some more.
Okay.
Where did you actually go? So you've seen her live.
I did see her live. I saw her about, it's been a while. I saw her about maybe 10 years ago, maybe. Maybe even longer, to be honest. It may have been about 12 years ago. But yeah, I saw her. It was a very small club. It was a place called the House of Blues here locally. And there was you could maybe get 1,000 people in there. I mean, it wasn't like a giant stadium or anything like that.
Right.
And it was just such a personal, intimate performance. And it was great. I mean, she did some acoustic sets. She had her band come out and did some rocking sets. You know, she's on the folksy rock side, you know. Like you said with Alanis, actually, they're very much in the same kind of category of rock. You know what I mean? Where it could kind of be,
yes.
It could kind of be pop, but it's also rock, but it's also folk. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I said with many of these artists. They've done ballads as well, and they've also done a few poppy songs,
right?
And many rock bands have done that.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of big male rock bands, sometimes their ballad is their biggest hit because it's the thing the radio likes playing more than the real hardcore stuff.
Right, it has the mass appeal of people that wouldn't generally listen. Yeah, no. Well, I would urge you to listen to some more Fiona Apple if you're into it, because she's a great singer songwriter and just really knows how to tell you a story through music, which I love. So she's my 3, and we are up to our runner ups. And you're first. What's your 2?
Whoop whoop. Okay, this I could have swapped these two around several times, and I actually originally had this woman as 1. But I put her as 2 because I changed them. It is Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders.
Good one. Real good one. Real good one. Honorable mention for me.
Yeah, I love The Pretenders. She's got that, again, another really low. She's a contralto. She's got the contralto vocal range. So it's a real low female voice. One of my favorite songs is Brass in the Pocket, of course.
Got brass in pocket. Got pedal. I'm gonna use it. Intention. I'm feeling mental. Gonna make you notice. Got motion. Restrained emotion. I've been diving. Detour leaning. No reason. Just seems so pleasing.
Message of Love, Talk the Town, Don't Get Me Wrong.
It's good stuff.
She's just got this lovely velvet, that's the best way I could describe it, velvet sounding voice. Very, very pleasant to listen to. Again, a very sexy woman. Diverse in a lot of the songs that they did. Wasn't always rock, but she certainly, even if they didn't do a lot of rock songs, you know they could sing those rock songs so easily.
Right.
You know, you could throw that at them. So that's my number two, Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders.
I love it. You know, we talked about this last time that you came on and we talked about music, and we were mentioning different moments in movies that songs will kind of stand out to us. And Brass in Pocket, did you ever see Lost in Translation with Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson?
And Scarlett Johansson, yeah.
And the karaoke scene, you remember that scene with her doing that song?
Yes.
And it's
and she can sing too. Scarlett Johansson's a good singer.
Right, but I mean, it was so playful, and it's just a very memorable scene. And ever since, you know, I love that song to begin with, and I love The Pretenders, but ever since I saw that movie, I just immediately think of that scene now when I hear that song, Brass in Pocket. But
but that's the thing. There's so many songs that were previously, they weren't written for the movie.
Right.
But, you know, like if you, whenever anyone hears, you know, Yellow's, oh yeah, you instantly think Ferris Bueller's Day Off, don't you?
Absolutely.
You can't think of any other movie but that movie when you hear that song. So I completely understand. I've only seen Lost in Translation twice, but I do remember that scene in particular, and it's certainly that picture of them at the karaoke bar with her with the pink wig on. If anyone talks about that movie, that's the picture people tend to use. So again, Pretenders, just brilliant. So all you young people, if you haven't heard of any of these people or any of these fantastic rock chicks or rock bands, go and check them out.
Absolutely.
It's important. It's important to know about them.
You're right. And I mean, I'll have some clips on the episode, and I always put the Spotify playlist for the music episodes that we do on Spotify.
I love that. Love that you do that.
All the songs that you and I mentioned today will make it onto a playlist for people if they're so inclined to go listen to it. But just generally speaking, I mean, seek out these bands and these women, because, you know, a lot of them are revolutionary, which is actually a good segue for my number two. So if you're ready, I'll give that to you. So
go on, hit me with your rhythm stick.
So my number two is Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth is my number two.
Okay.
Now, I know you probably know this about me, but I was, I graduated high school in 1994. So the 90s really shaped me from like a music standpoint. I mean, you know, you hear the term grunge and alternative. I mean, that's what I was living during my formative years for the better part of that decade. And really, the late 80s and all the way through, you know, to 2000, really, I was in that kind of grunge alternative kick, you know, and I obviously still love all that stuff and a bunch of other music now, too. But, I mean, that was what consumed me for a solid decade. Sonic Youth was a pioneer for what ended up being called grunge music, and they really shaped what we know of it today. And, you know, some of my favorite bands of all time, like Nirvana, who you already mentioned, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, these kind of more popularized grunge bands, if you will, all borrowed from Sonic Youth's kind of manic, they were just fucking like a garage band, but in a stadium. They were,
right.
You know, it was noise, and they were just experimenting with different noises, and they were experimenting with, you know, how far can we take this? Would people still consider it music? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was a very experimental thing, and I also got to see them in a very small club in the early 90s, and it was one of the most transformative experiences for me, because I was hearing all those other bands that I just mentioned that were so huge, you know, and they were like selling millions of records and selling out arenas, and I couldn't even get a ticket because I didn't didn't have a job and I couldn't afford it, but here comes Sonic Youth in a small town in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and they play this little club called the Cat's Cradle, and you know, maybe 200 or 300 people getting there. It's like $10 to go, and I'm like, oh my god, I want to go. And I also saw Radiohead at that same club before they were huge.
Oh wow.
But to be able to see that and to know that these bands that I was so infatuated with at the time were really influenced by Sonic Youth and bands like Sonic Youth that never quite made it to that level, you know. I mean, they never made it to the Nirvana, Pearl Jam level. But just,
but I also think a lot of them don't want to.
Right.
I think they don't. I mean, they're happy jamming. They're happy touring. They don't want. I think a lot of them actually resent the fame that comes from it. Mm-hmm. They just want to do the music. It's like a lot of actors, they just want to act. They don't necessarily want the fame that comes with it. They just want to do their job. But I'll absolutely confess now, I wouldn't be able to name a Sonic Youth song.
That's okay.
So I will be fixing that as soon as we finish this podcast. I'm going to go and listen to Sonic Youth.
You know, Sonic Youth was just a big deal to me. It's just hard, to put my finger on it, but they were just almost like a representation of my teenage years, you know.
Yeah.
And Kim Gordon happened to be, along with Thurston Moore, you know, it was co-lead singers. So, but she also played guitar, and they really founded what would be called like noise rock, you know what I mean, where it was like feedback through the guitars, but they didn't bother fixing it. It was part of what went on the album, you know.
Part of their charm.
They would do the one take, and that was the damn song, you know what I mean? But she played bass. She played guitar. She sang with Thurston Moore. There's some songs where he was the lead, and there's some songs where she was, and then they would do it together on occasion. But they both were writing the music and writing the songs. But Kim Gordon, you know, it was like she was one of very, very few females in that grunge-centric era. And she really stood out, and she was really a pioneer. And, you know, I've seen documentaries on Nirvana and stuff because I was a huge, you know, I just love them. They're my favorite band, as you know.
Yep.
And I would see her and Thurston from Sonic Youth, like, mentoring Kurt and the guys, you know, on a tour that they were on together or something like that.
Wow.
And for them and for Kim Gordon, it meant more to her to see her proteges having success. You know what I mean? You could see that she was proud and almost like a mom, like, you know, my kids are making it. My kids are getting out of here. They're getting out of Seattle. They're doing what, you know what I mean? But it wasn't.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it was very, she's just great, man. And I feel like she is the first lady of grunge, you know? So I would say look up Sonic Youth and look up Kim Gordon. Now, you have to be into grunge music, and I don't mean...
Oh, for sure. I mean, to me, it's the same with movies. People say, you know, what sort of 80s movies do you like? And I said, same with music, same with movies, same with TV shows, as long as it's good.
Right, right.
That's my criteria. Right. I either love it, like it, about it, or I hate it.
Right.
So that's simple. So not every song, even the Beatles had a couple of naff ones, you know. That much body of work, they're not all going to be golden.
Right. And I just wanted to give that little disclaimer because, I mean, as long as you like grunge music or, you know, at least can tolerate it, I'll say, then I feel like Sonic Youth, you'll get it. You know what I mean? And to have and they started in 1981. I mean, they started early, like during the punk rock kind of renaissance. And
grunge wasn't even around in 81.
Right.
It was all hip hop and...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they really kind of molded that into what we, you know, what we heard 10 years later in the early 90s. So I loved it all, and they were at the forefront there. So Sonic Youth's Kim Gordon is my number two, and we are up to our number ones. I feel like I know yours. I think you know mine, but go ahead. Talk about your number one. Who's your number one?
Okay. You've already mentioned her. Number one had to go to Joan Jett.
Yep.
Originally from the Runaways and then the Blackhearts. She recorded songs. She was basically a mezzo-soprano vocal range. Songs like I Hate Myself for Loving You, Bad Reputation.
So good.
As you mentioned, I Love Rock and Roll. It was number one on the Billboard Top 100s. Crimson and Clover, Cherry Bomb. She's basically been described as the queen of rock and roll and the godmother of punk. And she also did a great cover. I mean, I love AC/DC. Mm-hmm. And she did a great cover of Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that as well. It's really, really good.
Yeah. You sort of think, no one can touch AC/DC doing their own songs. But she did a brilliant, brilliant version of that song. So it's got to go to Joan Jett. She's my number one gal, and she's gorgeous.
I love her.
And most of these women can play guitar, too. We should say that. Most of them can play their own instruments and not just guitar. They can play a few instruments. They're multi-talented, true musicians. And just great singers.
Hell yeah, I agree. And like I said, when I was talking about her earlier, you know, I mean, just such a good songwriter, you know.
Yep.
Great lyricist. Joan Jett. We crossed over there. We also crossed over on my number one. My number one is Ann Wilson of Heart.
Nice.
So
yeah,
I got a quick little anecdote story that's kind of charming. At least I hope it is. But
I'll be the judge of that.
But in 1990, I was 15 years old, right? And I wasn't driving yet, obviously, because the age to drive here is 16, and it still is today, but that's what it was back then as well. And my grandparents would babysit for me and my sister, right, whenever my mom had to work or whatever. So yeah. My mom took us, me and my sister, over to my grandparents' house, and she went to work. And my granddad, you know, this is in 1990, okay, so, and he was an older guy on top of that, so there wasn't a lot of technology in the house, you know what I mean? So he had this little, like, basically like what I would call a boombox that he would listen to NPR on in the news or whatever, you know, and it was rarely used for anything other than him listening to the news while he was having his morning coffee. It was just like his little AM/FM radio. So I was doing my homework at their house and I put on the local pop station, right? Mm-hmm. And I was listening to music and they are giving away concert tickets to see Heart. And at the time they had, I don't know if it was These Dreams or Never, one of those more like kind of rock pop tunes was on the radio. It was a big hit for them. So they were giving away Heart tickets and I called in and I won the tickets.
What?
So I got the tickets. I was like caller 15 or whatever. I won the tickets. And I couldn't get them because I was not 18 years old. So my mom had to go to the radio station and claim the tickets for me. And then my mom and I went to the concert together. We went to see Heart together. And I already,
that's so cool.
And I already told you earlier when we were talking about Fleetwood Mac, but Heart was another band that my parents introduced me to and that they would play the records of the old Heart. You know, you were mentioning Barracuda and Crazy on You and those types of tunes.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard those on vinyl as a very, very young kid. So it was a special moment to be able to have my first concert experience with my mom, seeing a band that she had introduced me to as a very young kid. And now here I almost felt like I was taking my mom to see one of her bands. You know what I mean?
Aww. And for free as well.
And for free. And we won it on the radio. And I've never won anything in my life since. That was the only thing I ever won. But Warrant opened for Heart on that show in the early 90s. A band called Warrant, which is like a big hair band that didn't last too long. They were around for a few years. So yeah, it was awesome, man. And I just love Heart, man. I mean, you already mentioned those old songs, and they got a little more polished and a little more poppy as they went into the 1990s, late 80s and early 90s. But I love it all. You know, it's all Heart to me. And I had a Heart t-shirt for a long time.
Huge though, weren't they? Those big ballady songs where Anne just opened up her lungs and just really, you know, it was so close to being operatic to a point. Mm-hmm. But they were massive and they were constantly on the radio. And then they were in every TV show. The songs were used in TV shows, movies, mm-hmm. because it just, and I think that, you know, a couple of their songs were at every school formal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Slow Dancing to Heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Alone is one of the all time great love, I guess you call it a love ballad, but it's a rockin' love ballad, man. And that's the thing about Heart is that, you know, you take a love ballad like that should be cheesy and it's not. It's just so powerful. And it's really because of her voice and, of course, Nancy on the guitar. I just love Heart, man. I mean, whenever women can really take the center stage like that and kick ass for 20, 30 years, it's just got something to be said for that, you know. And they're just an amazing duo, amazing band, and a great discography. And the fact that I was introduced to it by my parents and then I got to see it with my parents was just tremendous. So I had to put them on my list, and I also had to put them at number one. So Heart, Ann Wilson is my number one. All right, so
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. And there's always going to be, as you've been very lucky to see a lot of your picks live, and that brings another connection again. So you're not just hearing them on the radio, you're not just seeing their music clip. You've seen them live. You know that's how they sound. That's how they conform.
Right, right.
It's not all done in a recording studio. So that I think that's got a big influence with picks as well.
Well, let's do a quick thank you, Gidget. Let's do a quick wrap up real quick. What was your top five again, Gidget?
Okay, Susie DeMarkey from The Baby Animals, Ann Wilson from Heart. Number three, Chrissy Amphlett from The Divinals. Number two, Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders. And number one, Joan Jett.
Love it. Love your list. My top five was, number five was Stevie Nicks. Number four was Joan Jett. Number three was Miss Fiona Apple. Number two was Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth. And my number one was Ann Wilson of Heart. All right. So we're going to go over to the suggestion box online here in a couple minutes, Gidget. But before we do that, I have five honorable mentions. I'm going to limit myself, even though I have like 50. But I have five.
Isn't that funny? I limited myself to five honorable mentions too.
Thank God. Because we could, yeah. So go ahead. What were your five, six through tens there?
Okay. I had to put Janis Joplin on there. Susie Sue from The Banshees. Grace Slick from Jefferson Airplane. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jenny Lewis from Rilo Keeley. A lot of people would not have heard of her.
I love her.
PJ Harvey.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Two of those girls I was not overly familiar with, and a friend put me onto them a long time ago, and I thought, these girls can rock.
Absolutely.
So that's my top five pick.
I love it.
Honorable mention, sorry.
All right, so here's what would have rounded out my top 10. So there's a couple that might be questionable. So if you want me to explain myself, I will. But like I said,
you don't have to explain yourself to anyone, Gerald. This is your podcast,
like,
buddy.
Like I said in the intro, though, some of these were the persona more so than the music, even. But my number six would have been Susanna Hoffs.
Okay.
And I know you.
Bangles.
The Bangles. I know you probably love them. I just had such a giant crush on Susanna Hoffs.
Every guy did.
Everybody did, right? I mean.
Yeah, every girl did too, I think. I think it was just a worldwide thing. She's so cute.
Yeah, she's great. My number seven would have been Courtney Love, which I know is divisive, but you know, you got to realize when the band Hole came out in the early 90s and when they rose to fame in the mid 90s, to me, as a lover of grunge music, which we already talked about, Hole was basically Nirvana with a female lead singer. I mean, if you listen to them, I mean, if you just strip away all of everything you know about them in pop culture or whatever, it was the exact same sound as Nirvana with a girl voice coming out of the microphone. So I loved it, and I still do, and some people might consider that a guilty pleasure, but I love Hole. I love Courtney Love, so she's definitely got the woman rocker thing going on. My number eight you mentioned would have been Janis Joplin. I mean, one of the all-time greats, just period,
that
in any
raspy
genre.
Raspy, close to, she's sort of like we've got a singer here from Cold Chisel called Jimmy Barnes, mm-hmm. and she was like a female Jimmy Barnes with that raspy, wow, you know, she gave it all she got, you know.
Right. And then my last couple to round out my top 10 would have been, my number nine would have been Amy Winehouse. Rest in peace, gone too soon. Another one that, you know, the persona played into it a little bit. I mean, she was sex, drugs, and rock and roll, man. I mean, she was, you know, obviously because she died at 27 and just lived way too fast. But I love Amy Winehouse's catalog, and Back to Black is one of my favorite albums cover to cover. And then my number nine would have been a vocalist called Karen O. Karen O is the lead singer of the Yeah Yeah Yes. And she's kind of a punk rock chick that if you like that genre of music, which is like a melodic kind of grungy punk rock, I would say look up the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. They're just a really unique and cool band, and her voice stands out, and she's just such a badass too. She's another one that's just like living on the edge, like I'm concerned for her every morning, you know. But,
is she still with us?
She is as we speak. She is. But okay, so Gidge, you know what we do at the end of the show? We head over to the suggestion box on Twitter and on Facebook, and we see what some of the fans had to say. Let's see what you have to say about some of these too, okay, Gidget?
Yep,
so
go for it.
Over on the Facebook fan page, because I know you haven't seen that stuff yet. So our buddy Dan from Netflix and Swill says Hayley Williams of Paramore. What do you think? Are you a fan of Paramore?
I've never heard of them.
Well, that's a newer one. They've been
around.
No, that's a newer group. They've been around 5 or 6 years. I like them. They're they would probably fall in the category of like almost like a female Blink 182, kind of like a female punk.
All right. Okay.
All right. Gotcha. Carmen Signy over on Facebook says Stevie Nicks, Joan Jett, Janis Joplin, and Grace Slick. That is a classic list. Can't argue with any of those. Let's see. Chris Yaney over on Facebook says Joan Jett, Nancy, I think he means Ann Wilson, but he says Nancy Wilson. Pat Benatar. We didn't say Pat Benatar tonight.
Oh.
She's another good one.
Yeah.
And then Liz Phair. I love Liz Phair. Another alternative chick from the 90s more than anything else, but he has a great list there. Let's see what you think about this. So Tony Vandenbush said Grace Slick, but then she's also got Lita Ford. What do you think about Lita Ford?
Again, just going blank on that one.
Well, Lita Ford was one of the initial. She was one of the original members of the Runaways. She, I want to say she was.
Oh.
I can't remember if she was drums or bass, but she was in the Runaways initially, and then she had her kind of a solo stint in the 80s, and she gained popularity because she did that duet with Ozzy Osbourne. I can't remember the name of it for some reason, but it was like a love ballad that she did with Ozzy.
Okay. And trust me, I'm writing these down. The ones that I'm not
Lita
familiar
Ford,
with.
Yeah, look up Lita
Ford. My brain is a sponge, and I like discovering new voices and new bands and everything, mm-hmm. so I'm excited about this, actually.
So Matt Lewinsky over on Facebook says Stevie Nicks, Anne and Nancy Wilson, Lizzie Hale, and Cyndi Lauper. We didn't mention Cyndi Lauper. How do you feel about that one?
Okay. Look, as you and I said, we had a list of about 20, 25
right.
women that we would consider putting it in, and they're all very diverse. They might have done a couple. Cyndi did quite a lot of very pop songs as well.
Right.
But she could certainly belt out a rock song for sure, and I think that's a good pick.
She could, yeah. I mean, they popped her up. You know, she was produced, I believe, probably more by the record companies than herself, because she had to work with what she was given, you know what I mean? But yeah. she's another one that, like, you see her and you just go rock and roll, you know, just looking at her, I mean, without hearing her music. So I'm okay with it. And then my buddy Josh Hallmark, so I love him. He's a music guy, and I knew that he was going to bring the heat on the indie rock stuff. Two of his I know, two of his I don't know, but his four that he has here are Liz Phair, PJ Harvey, Big Thief, and Metric. I do not know
I had PJ Harvey, so
I know PJ Harvey. I don't know Big Thief or Metric though, do you?
No, but I'm writing it down. Big Thief and Metric.
So Chris Yaney, who I just mentioned a moment ago, saw the Stevie Nicks shout outs. And he said, regarding all this Stevie love, and he put up a gif of somebody yelling, "Burn the witch, burn her."
Wow. Okay, so I'm guessing he doesn't necessarily agree with that choice.
Come on, Chris. Okay.
That's harsh, man.
So we'll head over to Twitter, and look at this. My girl coming through for me from So I Married a Movie Geek, Chrissy. I love her. She says Fiona Apple, and I could not agree more. I saw that after I made my list, and I was so happy. I'm like, somebody else said Fiona. So thank you so much for that. Jameson Rabbit on Twitter says Pink, Shirley Manson, Jen Ledger, and Yolandi. I do not know those last two. Shirley Manson is from Garbage. I do love her. She was also right in the middle of that kind of mid-90s grunge era. What do you think about Pink, though? I feel like Pink's a little pop, though. I don't know.
Pink has done some, very, very diverse. She has done some more rock songs, and she could certainly tear up doing a rock song as well. She has done a lot of pop. I love Pink, so I'm kind of regretting not having her on my honorable mentions. I wouldn't have had her on the top five, but I certainly would have had her on honorable mentions because she has, and she writes her own music as well. She's got a hell of a voice.
Yeah.
I think she's one of the better female singers.
I do love her. That's another one I've seen live, by the way. I've seen Pink twice I've seen her.
Oh, you show off.
I know, right?
I've seen her concert on tape. So it doesn't really count, really.
Ryan Terry on Twitter, another shout out for Cyndi Lauper, and he put up a gif of Time After Time.
Hi Ryan, he's one of our listeners as well.
Gotta love Cyndi Lauper though, no question there. Ian over on Twitter says, it's a tough question, but he's got to go Joan Jett, Gwen Stefani, Janis Joplin, and Pat Benatar. We didn't mention Gwen Stefani yet, of No Doubt.
Yeah, she rocks it up. Their rock songs weren't as popular as their ballady or her more poppy songs, but if you went to see No Doubt and Gwen Stefani in concert, they certainly performed quite a few rock songs as well. I've seen a concert of theirs, and she certainly goes for it. But again, just so many to choose from.
There really are.
So that's why it's nice having the feedback as well, because you're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. So there's a couple I want to mention that we didn't mention tonight when we gave our list. But real quick, what I thought was kind of funny was Take Two, our buddies over there at the Take Two podcast, they put up a gif of Cassandra from Wayne's World, and it just says hashtag,
oh, I saw that.
Hashtag swing. That was funny. Oh, man. All right, so a couple that we didn't mention yet. The Peter Greenwood Show on Twitter has got Linda Perry. We didn't mention her. Annie Lennox, we also did not mention.
Oh, I did see. There we go. Yay. I saw Eurythmics live.
And oh, you did? Okay, there you go.
Yep, I saw Eurythmics live. I was a massive Eurythmics fan. I love Annie Lennox. And during the concert, she started off in this full suit. And when she got down to just the white shirt and the black pants, she was like sweating like crazy. She tore the white shirt off down to her bra, and she threw the white shirt, and it landed on my head. So I can say Annie Lennox has sweated on me.
Nicely done. And you were getting on me. Now who's the show off?
I had her shirt. I don't know what happened to it. My mum probably washed it and threw it out.
Man.
Yeah, I was stoked, and people were trying to grab the shirt off me, and I'm like, no, this is mine.
I like this one, and I want to give this guy some love. So the False Starts podcast has got two that we have not, or actually three that we have not mentioned yet. Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries.
Ooh, I was so close to having her on my honorable mentions.
Yeah. Amy Lee from Evanescence and Avril Lavigne. Now, I want to say Amy Lee and Evanescence. Are you familiar with Evanescence, first of all?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, just that band in general is just, they have so much hate and visceral toward them. I don't know why. I like them too. And he put Amy Lee and he says, I like Evanescence. Don't judge me. I'm not judging you, brother. I absolutely love Evanescence. I always have. My wife hates them. My daughter hates them. I'm like, what's
really?
Why? Yeah, I don't know. Have you not heard that or noticed that? Or
yeah, I, you know what I think? It's a funny thing. It's a bit like Coldplay and stuff like that. They become so successful.
Yeah,
and it's
so
like
quickly.
People are like, you've got a little bit too big for your boots, or you're a little bit too popular, or your song's been played too much, so we don't like you anymore.
You know,
and look, people have got the right to love and hate
whoever
they want.
Please do,
But I think she's got a phenomenal voice.
Oh, she's
the
great.
The funny thing is, the band sort of played rock while she sort of sang more operatically.
Yes, and you know, one of the things I think I connected with Evanescence to, it's probably been 15 or 20 years now since I first heard them, but what I think I connected, I was talking to you earlier about Hole and how they were kind of like Nirvana with a female singer. I used to love Linkin Park, the band Linkin Park, and Evanescence was very Linkin Park to me with a female singer. And I just connected to it right away because I love that kind of like mixture of industrial but also rock, and then her voice, like you said, was so beautiful. So I'm with you, False Starts. I loved Evanescence too.
To be fair, I only know that, you know, Wake Me Up Inside. I only know that song.
Yes, that's a good one.
I don't know any of their other songs, so I need to check out
some of
their
work. A good one to know. I mean, that's one of their best, so that's good. Then just a couple more that we haven't mentioned yet. So Micah over on Twitter, which is MBBNC, says Tina Turner and Alanis Morissette.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned Alanis briefly, but Tina Turner, that's a good one that I didn't think of immediately.
I have
for
seen
rock
her
chick.
Live, too. There we go.
We're
going way back. She was performing at the Hilton, and I went with my mother and my stepfather, and you know the big sweaty sax player from the Lost Boys?
Mm-hmm.
That's Tina Turner's, at the time, Tina Turner's full-time sax player.
Wow.
So he was there, but he had his shirt on.
Wow.
So saw her live, and she was phenomenal. What a great performer. So yeah, good. Again, I'm kicking myself that I didn't have her at least on my on mentions.
So there's two folks that we're going to wrap up with. So Monica V and then RRHOF inductee on Twitter. Both of them had a shout out for Melissa Etheridge, which we did not mention this evening.
Yeah.
Melissa Etheridge has some good tunes that I love. I'm not a huge fan of like her entire catalog, but like Come to My Window, I'm the Only One. And she's another one that's like a raspy, real deep falsetto as well. So yeah. I could see why you would think that. And then I just saw this, and I didn't see this until just now. I'm so excited. Bad Pitches on Twitter has a GIF of Karen O, which was in my top 10. And I didn't even know it. I didn't know anybody would shout her out, but I'm so excited. But they said Karen O or get the fuck out. So I agree with you. I agree with you, Bad Pitches. Absolutely.
There you go. There you go. Well, you mentioned her, so
I guess,
in the clear.
I guess I don't have to get the fuck out. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. I'm leaving. I've got to get the fuck out.
With that being said, we are wrapping up. So, Gidget, look, I love you. You come on every few months and we do something fun. And I'm so glad that you came back for this one for our women rockers. I, of course, had to have a rocking woman on for this. So I had to.
I love being on your podcast. I love it. It's so much fun. And, you know, I could just listen to you for hours. You've just got the sexiest voice. So saying that for all us ladies that listen to your podcast. We love
your voice.
So keep it up. Brilliant time. And anytime you need me, I'll be here.
I love it, Gidget. Why don't you tell everyone real quick, where do you want to point and where can they find you online, hon?
Okay. Well, just go to I do a podcast once a week with Angry Man. We podcast about 80s movies we loved back then because we're both old farts and we still love now. And we are The Retro Cinema. You find us at theretrocinema.com on Twitter, The Retro Cinema. You'll find me, Gidget, on Twitter, spelt G-I-D-G-I-T, not E-T.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just type The Retro Cinema into Google and you'll find us on every single player that you can possibly listen to. We're an hour long podcast, family friendly, so the kids can listen. You can listen in the car with the little ones. That's a lot of fun.
I'm still waiting to get my guest spot on there. I know you have some things planned for me. We just haven't been able to make it happen scheduling wise, but I love The Retro Cinema. I listen frequently and I'm a big fan of yours. You guys make sure you follow Gidget online. And me and Gidget are going to be somewhat enemies in the next couple months when we go on the movie draft over there.
Yes.
For the finals, for the 2000 finals. But I can't be enemies with you, Gidget. I just can't do it.
No, I can't do it. That's the thing. Hey, I beat Drew from Real Phil's podcast, and he still came on and recorded Killer Clowns from Outer Space with me. So
yeah.
We're all friends. It's all friendly banter. But you're going down.
I know. I probably am. That's okay. I can't believe I won with Men in Black 2. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a fan favorite now too. I don't know. Gidget, I love you, babe. Until next time, which hopefully will be sooner than later, we'll have you back on. But thanks so much for being here. Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
So welcome. Thanks, everybody. And check out these chicks, check out these bands, check out these songs.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Gerald.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'll talk to all you guys soon. Thank you for listening. Two Peas is an independent podcast. We rely on donations from our executive producers in order to release new content weekly. We would like to give a special thanks to all our current producers, Kathy Ross, Dan Brennick, Caleb Brownlee, Justin Esquivel, Paul Chomo, Carmen Signy, and Daniel Henderson. If you would like to become an executive producer and help us continue to release great content, please visit 2peasonapod at patreon.com or check out the show notes for this episode. Again, thank you for listening.